Good afternoon, everyone. I hear it now. Before we begin, I'm purposely praying for someone before the sermon because I know this will be on YouTube. Pastor Kevin has told us that we have a prayer supporter in Ohio. It's the Good Morning State in America, Ohio. Hi, Samuel. Okay, so his name is Pete Winkler. He's a pastor, and Pastor Kevin, he's a prayer partner with Pastor Kevin, and he prays for Mitaki and for Miyajima Praise Chapel. He just had a surgery on his heart, and he's recovering. So, Pastor Kevin, maybe you could tell him to watch this and just let him know we're praying for him. So would you join me in praying for Pastor Pete Winkler? Let's pray. Father, we come before you on behalf of someone who prays for us. And so, Lord, just as you listen to his prayers on our behalf, please listen to our prayers for him. We pray for Pete Winkler as he's in hospital recovering. We thank you that the surgery was okay. But Lord, now that he's getting well, we pray that he would not suffer more pain than is necessary. We ask that whatever medication or treatment he has, it will be just the right. And we, just as Grace prayed, it's not the doctor who heals. They just do their work. But it is our God who is the great healer. So, Father, we trust that you are helping him to recover in a timely way so that he will be able to return to serving and doing the work of ministry that you have for him and his family. Lord, be with him in all things, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Pastor Hiroshi preached this message last week. If you are bilingual and you have not listened to Pastor Hiroshi's sermon from this passage, I highly recommend it. It's going to be, well, this sermon is just a fraction of what he preached last week. And yeah, I'm really excited to preach it today. So I'm going to read from verse 13 of chapter 23. I'll read from 13 until 19. And then please join me from verse 20 to 25. This is Luke chapter 23, verse 13. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. And as you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Let's read together. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. The very word of God. Amen? This text that we're looking at today, it's the gospel, okay? It's amazing, it's beautiful, it's high level, it's pure. And I'm privileged to preach and teach from the scripture today. You know, the temptation is to talk about, you know, how Jesus is good for you because he will make you happy. He will give you good things. He will bless you. And everything you ask of God in this life for security and happiness, and God is going to give you all those things through Jesus, and he will make you prosper and give you all your health. It's not here. Yeah, it's the gospel. It's still the gospel. You know, I was at a wedding recently. And after the ceremony, there's the reception, the hiroen. And at the reception, you have a nice dinner, you know, good food. And there's the menu. And at the table, there's the drink menu. Yeah. And on the drink menu, there's the juice, there's the tea, you know, and then there's the cocktail menu, the alcohol menu. And if you are having problems with alcohol, forgive me. In the menu, there's, you know, wine, red and white, and then there's the, you know, da da da. Then there's the whiskey. So the man at my table, he calls the waiter, and he says, "I'll have this whiskey, please." And the whiskey it's the high-level whiskey, okay? It's not the convenience store whiskey, not the supermarket, you know, whiskey. It's the good stuff. So this man says, "I'll have this whiskey, please." And I still remember, the waitress asked him, "Mizuwari? Soretomo roku desu ka?" You know, do you want it with water or on, you know, with ice? And the man's face, he was like, "Huh?" He didn't say it, but I could see he was saying, "What are you talking about? This is the good whiskey. You don't put water. You don't mix it with ice. Give it straight, right? Because this whiskey is not the alcohol. It's the flavors. It's the age. It's the barrels. It's the process. It's the beauty, the color. Don't put water. Don't waste the flavor with ice." You know? That's this scripture. This is the gospel. Pure, beautiful, rich, powerful, right? We don't need prosperity and health and blessing. It's all there anyway. But you need the gospel. Amen? Yeah. So what is it? Yeah, what is it? It's the innocent for the guilty. Jesus Christ committed no crime, guilty of no sin. He was innocent. And then there's another man, Barabbas. He was in prison because he was guilty of rebellion and murder. And Jesus took his place. Jesus died for the one who is guilty. And the guilty man was able to live free. That's it. But let's study it just a little bit more. This is actually part three. What happened was, Jesus was having dinner with his disciples. At the dinner, he says, one of you will give me up to the authority. It was Judas. So 4 weeks ago, we preached on Judas betraying Jesus. And then after they went to the garden, after the dinner, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prays, Lord, if it's possible, do not let me suffer from this. Take this cup from me. But not my will. May your will be done. Jesus prayed. And then after he prays, the temple and the priest guards come to arrest Jesus. This is in chapter 22. And Jesus is now taken to the house of two high priests. One is Annas, and the other is Caiaphas. And these are the religious leaders and elders of the people of Israel. And they bring fake, false, made-up accusations and charges against him. There's one witness that tells one story. Another witness comes. They tell a different story. It's just a mess. But they're accusing Jesus. What does Jesus answer? What does Jesus defense? Nothing. He says only, soon, now, the Son of Man is going to sit at the right hand of the Father. And they're saying, what? So you're saying you're the Son of Man? You're the Messiah? And he says, that's what you say. So they want to kill Jesus. They have no reason, no moral reason to kill Jesus. And not only that, they have no civil authority, no power to kill Jesus. So what do? They bring him to the government who has the power. They bring him to the governor whose name is Pilate, Pontius Pilate. So this is at the beginning of chapter 23. This is part two. Part one, he's arrested and he's brought to trial three times. Part two, he's brought to Pilate. And the first time, Pilate says, so here it is. They bring the charges against him. Then Pilate examines him. Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, you say. That's the word in Greek. Right? And then Pilate is, has this conversation. And finally, Pilate says, he did nothing wrong. He's just talking. He sounds like a crazy man. But there's no crime. He didn't murder. He didn't kill. He didn't try to rebel against Caesar or the government. He's not leading an insurrection. It's nothing. Ah, Herod. Herod is here. So he brings him to the quote-unquote king. He's a kind of a clown king. A puppet king, yeah? And so he goes to Herod. This is in the middle of, the beginning of chapter 22. And he goes to the king, and Herod is saying, oh, Jesus, do a miracle. Make lightning come or do some magic for it. Jesus is, nothing. He's not wasting his time with this fox. Okay. So Herod says, this is so silly. And he beats Jesus. And then he puts a fake robe on Jesus as a kind of bujoku, a kind of mockery. Like, you're the king. Here's your robe, And then Herod gives him back to Pilate. All right, so part one, Jesus is standing in front of the religious leaders. Part two, Jesus stands in front of Pilate and Herod. Now part three, Jesus is in front of the people, the crowd. This is where we pick up. So Pilate now has him. Pilate says, come on, everybody, let's get together. Chief priests, rulers, the people, everybody. You have brought me Jesus, this man who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence. Let's mark it. In your presence, and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Two times in two verses, the highest court in the government declares that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not guilty of any crime. Two times. Is that all? There's one more time. In the Bible, if it's three times, that's it. Okay? So that's two, right? Okay, so now, verse 18, the whole crowd shouted, away from this man, release Barabbas to us. We'll get back to Barabbas in just a moment. Verse 22, for the third time he spoke to them. What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Three times, the highest court, the most powerful government at the time of Jesus, the first century. This man is not guilty of anything. Please think about this. We have one person here who works in the Hiroshima government as a public servant, working in the courts of law, right? Every day, this person is meeting innocent people and guilty people. Every day, there's papers and files, and they have to decide, are these charges true or false? Is this person innocent or guilty? And it's very stressful. It's not easy to listen to all of these problems that many people are going through. But the one good thing that goes, I want you to experience what this person has to go through. The only good thing that satisfies this person about working in the law courts of Hiroshima is that when the innocent people have gone through their trial, they are not guilty. The charges are false, and they can go free. And then the guilty people, the criminals, the liars, the cheaters, the exploiters, the oppressors, they go through their examination, and they get their punishment. Justice, right? That's all. And that's what keeps our society together. Justice. The guilty are punished. The innocent are set free. That's what we're looking for. Now you, imagine, you are not a Christian. You've never been to church. Maybe you're reading this story for the first time. Okay? First time to read this Gospel of Luke. And you understand, after 22 chapters, you read about Jesus Christ. He has done nothing wrong. He has helped people, healed people. He has fed people. He has taught people. He has given his life and given his time. He has been held from sleep and food. He has given so much to people. Such a good man, a great teacher. And then he's captured on false charges, arrested for fake crimes, and what happens? Injustice. He's declared innocent, but at the end, what happens to him? Pilate decided to grant the people's demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison, and the one they asked for surrendered. What? You're the highest government. What is Luke showing us? This gospel. One, they are killing an innocent man. That's it. You see, many people say, the Bible, we don't know if it's true. Jesus, is he a real person? This is just a myth. Xinhua. Is it true? Is it false? We don't know. It's not history. Oh, really? Are you a historian? Do you have a PhD? Are you a professor of history? And do you know classic ancient literature? How do you know this is not the gospel? This is not history. How do you know this is just myth? Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you the answer of an Oxford professor who was a teacher of ancient classical literature from the first century. His name was C.S. Lewis. He spent his life studying ancient literature, myth and history. He fed his family. He paid his bills by studying the differences in history and myth, okay? And he's read all of it. And he says, when I read these four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is not myth. The way that this is written, the details, the accounts, the differences in each story, that tells me this is more than just talking about a god. This is an actual event in history, okay? And this is what happened in history. An innocent man was sent to die. Oh, well, come on. Lots of people are sent to die. A lot of innocent people are mistakenly sent to the death penalty. What is so great about this? Okay, now we come to the gospel. We're almost finished. So there is a man named Barabbas. Look at the name. Bar-Abbas. Okay. Bar. That means the son of. Abba. Do you know the word Abba? Huh? Yeah, Abba. Father. Papa. Tosa. Bar, the son of Abba, the father. He is the son of the father. Do you know there's another church? He is one of the first leaders of the Christian church. His name was Origen. He's a church father. He says, he did the research, okay? Barabbas' full name is what? Jesus Barabbas. Yeshua Barabbas. We have two Jesuses in front. Yeshua, the son of the Father, and Jesus, the son of God, the son of the Father. Right? Two people, same name. Okay? And the crowd is saying, kill him, give us him. The crowd is saying, kill the innocent man, give us the guilty man. Okay? So the innocent man is going to be punished for what the guilty man did. We have two Jesuses, two Barabbases, and the crowd chose the guilty one. Why? This is literature. This is high-level literature. This is the literature that will last for all eternity. Luke is teaching us not only about two men, he's telling us about us. Yeah? The crowd chose the guilty man. And he's saying, Barabbas is you and me. Barabbas is you and me. Wait. I'm not a murderer. I didn't make the insurrection. I don't rebel. No. If you have sinned, If you have looked at somebody and thought, you're a fool, if you had hate in your heart against someone, you are a murderer. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard it said, do not kill, do not murder. But Jesus says, I tell you, if you hate your brother with your heart, you are guilty of murder. Jesus says, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. And Jesus says, I'm telling you, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you're an adult. You and I are rebellious. We commit rebellion, insurrection, and murder against God every day. If you can't say amen, you should say ouch, because that's the truth. But the good news is Jesus understands that. And that's the reason Jesus came, is to take the guilty man and substitute his life for his guilt. Amen? Amen. That's the gospel. But now I'm wrapping it up. Now you think, this is very important. How does this change your life? I want to tell you just one thing, how it changes your life. You see, a lot of people think that when Jesus dies on the cross, my guilt goes to Jesus, right? And that's true. It's called imputation, imputation. My guilt is imputed to Jesus. In other words, he absorbs my guilt. That's only half. That's only half. We have a double imputation. What happens is Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' goodness, Jesus' power, Jesus' innocence is given to us. Amen, somebody. It's a double imputation. So imagine, you are Barnabas. Excuse me, you are Barabbas. You're in the prison, okay? You're in this dark room, no windows, one door. And you deserve to be there. And you know that maybe today you're going to be nailed and you're going to suffocate and you're going to die. You know it and you deserve it because you have killed and you have rebelled. That's you. And then you hear the guard coming, his steps. And you hear the door, the lock, and they open the door. And you're thinking, this is it, I'm done, I'm finished. This is my last day on earth. And the guard says, get out. Go home. Huh? Yeah, you're not going to die. Why? Someone else is going to die for you. That's the gospel. It's not just that Jesus died for your sin, but it's that you will live through Jesus' death. Your guilt goes to Jesus. Jesus' innocence goes to you. Let that go down into your heart and let that change you forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we are humbled because the truth of the gospel is so great and beautiful. It's glorious and heavy. And yet it's a burden that frees us and lets us walk on air. Oh God, thank you that we are declared innocent, not guilty, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven. So, Lord, we bless you today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's all stand up, rise together, and sing our closing song together.
honest heart and speak life into my soul. Who can spin the world around and hold me ever close? Who can search the depths of me? Love me to the core. Who controls the world I see? And walks me through it all. No. Oh.